Honourable Committee Members, Honourable Minister, Deputy Ministers, Board Members of the ITB, the Acting DG and Senior Officials, Commissioner of the CLCC, and everyone, excuse me, I'm not used to the protocols in exactly the sequence that it ought to be. But like has been said, I'm humbled to really stand in for the chair. But ordinarily, I'm very happy as the whip, as everyone would know. I'm very comfortable in that space. But I'll just try and fit into the chair's big shoes. I've been alerted about her leave of absence. But nominations were closed before I could nominate Honourable DM Squatcher to chair the meeting without demoting him from his executive deployment. Thank you. On a serious note, members, we're just about to start with our business of the day. I am just familiarizing myself with the paperwork in front of me, the agenda. Thank you. We have a series of, I may say for now, we have a series of sessions over the next 2 days, starting today. And depending on the delay and the extent of elaboration and responses, we may find ourselves remaining up until 10 p.m., everyone be warned. But if we cooperate in minding the time, then I guess we should be out of here at appropriate times, at about 4 for the latest. As for the department, the entities, the AG's office, thank you for excusing me for forgetting to mention you, and the stakeholders and the members of the public. As and when time comes that our organs like the AG, the ITB, as they finish their presentations, we may then be at a position to release them as they deem fit, or they may remain if they want to observe one or two things in the meeting. In particular, Honourable Minister, I also want to welcome you. I do know that over the past month you had moments of ill health, and I can see you are in good form today, and thank you. We still want to suck some experience, some insight, and some political wisdom out of you. So that health mkhuhlane may really have to stay far from you, please. We have the program in front of us all, colleagues. We have just done the dispense with the first three items. I'll ask if the secretary has got the, in terms of item four, the apologies to the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. I do not have an apology except for the apology from the chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The apology from the chair was Honourable.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Walter sent me an SMS telling me that he could be delayed. So he should be a bit later.
We note Honourable Walters delay. He can join us any time. Any other? That's it. Nothing from Honourable Phil Dane? Order, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, I forgot. MP Phil Dane is attending a meeting with Public Works. He's going to join us later.
I'm just checking them one by one. Wish we were live so that their stakeholders could see who's not in attendance and so forth. Honourable Mashabela, nothing from the EFF. Honorable Mbinda, he's my cousin. I wouldn't have loved to ask about him. He's also not in attendance, PAC president. And that's it. Yeah, that's it in terms of the committee membership. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. In terms of the proceedings, we are just going to call for the Office of the Auditor General, Chapter 9 Institution, to give us the report. We do have copies of the report. I am not sure, just on the housekeeping, including everyone, department and all, we got documents late into the night last night, after 8, and some, the first one was after 2, and then after 8. I'm just really concerned about that. But since I'm acting in somebody's place, I'm not going to be as hard as I would ordinarily be if I was seated there. We do not want to be given documents in the last hour. We do not want it. There's out there a perception that politicians don't read, councillors don't read, whoever don't read. Let it be proven. But if we get the documents in the very last hour, acting DG, it cannot be healthy. I do know that I got electronic copies last night. And so I do not know. As for the honourable members, I do not know. But I wouldn't like us to go that route of tracing where the problem was. AG, I think let us give the space and time to your good self, and you may do well. We used to a gentleman called Eugene. We worked with him for the past 3 years or so, and now there are good, fresh, new faces, and please help us with the introductions as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. Thank you, honourable members. We are presenting the audit outcomes for the past year. Firstly, let me just apologise because I've noticed that there's only black and white copies of the presentations that were made available to the members. We had some technical difficulties, and I was just requested to project a colour version of the presentation and then just to take the members through to make it more clear. As the Chair has indicated, I've replaced Eugene Dohan. My name is Rink Grobler. So I've been a Senior Manager with the Auditor General now for 8 years and 11 years with the organisation. Next to me is Kolesi. He's the new manager on the audit. He replaced Zach. And then behind us, for exposure purposes, we've also brought along Natasha. She was one of the lead training accountants on the audit this year. And then I've also asked the Ingonyama auditors to join us this morning. So on that side, we have Amanda as well as Backus that will be joining us this morning. If we start going through the presentation, you will see there on the first slide is the AG's reputation promise. The Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate and as the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. So basically that's why we're here this morning, to instill the public confidence and also to share the audit outcomes. As I've indicated, the role of this morning is to share the audit outcomes from the past year's audits to enable the oversight committees also in and assist them in their duties. The annual audit, you'll be familiar with this slide as well. It was used in previous presentations as well, where we're basically just highlighting the fact that we're looking at three audit areas, which is the financial performance information as well as the compliance audit areas, and we're issuing findings with regards to that and our reports. When it comes to the audit opinions, a clean audit is where there is a financially unqualified opinion without material findings on compliance or on performance information. And then we get a financially unqualified opinion with findings. So that indicates that although the financial statements were in order, there were certain non-compliances with performance and or compliance. Then we have a qualified opinion where certain items within the financial statements were not supported by adequate evidence, and then we qualify that specific area, and then a adverse opinion where there is disagreements between the auditors and the amounts disclosed in the financial statement. So the auditors basically do not agree with the amount disclosed. And then the most strict or stringent audit opinion is the disclaimed opinion, where we're basically indicating that there isn't adequate audit evidence provided. So that is just a recap of all the audit opinions that we issue. Obviously, the major objective for government as a whole is the National Development Plan. So it is something that we've started to look at in a bit more detail to see the alignment within the department to the National Development Plan and reaching the objectives of that plan. And this is a new slide for this year where we just want to highlight accountability specifically. And if we go to the next slide, we see that there is basically a circle indicating the accountability process in terms of firstly planning, or secondly planning and defining the targets in the APP, then doing basically implementing the internal controls and have adequate supervision, then the monitoring by all assurance providers. And on this one we still recommend for the portfolio committee to also, on the quarterly basis, when the management presents or the DG presents the outcomes for those quarters, to do get the necessary confirmation from the internal auditors as well as the audit committee as to what assurance processes those documents actually went through before it was presented here in Parliament. Then there needs to be consequences for non-performance, obviously getting the necessary outcomes and achieving better results, and at the end of the day what we are striving for in government is obviously having impact and better lives for all its citizens. And that basically, once you have all of that in place, then you have an accountable institution. The next item I just want to highlight before we get to the outcomes is the revised audit methodology. So this year was the first time that we rolled out our revised audit methodology to the whole of government. Basically, it was a in-depth research that was done, thousands of hours of testing, and then we rolled out this revised methodology. Now, the impact for the current year was the fact that for performance information, if you looked at our audit report, you would see that it looks a bit different from previous years in that the opinion on performance information was listed at indicator level and not at program level as in the past, meaning that it was a bit more specific as to which specific indicators had issues. The other impact that there was for the current year was that the Ingonyama Trust Board was classified as a small entity, and that meant that for the performance information, we only issued a limited assurance opinion and not a reasonable assurance opinion, meaning that when we do limited assurance, we basically just look at the supporting evidence at a higher level than what we would when we're providing reasonable assurance. So, but these changes were communicated from the start of management, so even when we started with the audit, management was quite aware of the changes in the audit methodology and how it impacted on them. Then these are the opinions again, and then you will see we will highlight whether there were improvements, unchanged, or regressions. So for the current year, these are the outcomes. You can see there was quite a bit of improvement for the current year when it comes to the audit opinions. We had deeds that moved from a unqualified opinion with findings, which is yellow, to a green, which means it's basically a clean audit opinion. We also had ITB that moved from an adverse opinion to a qualified opinion again, also showing some improvement. Rural development remained on unqualified with findings on compliance. And this slide especially just also recapping what I've already said. There you can just see that Deeds and Ingo Nyama has actually moved in order to Pinyans, and Ola and Rural Development has remained the same. When it comes to the performance information, this presentation includes Deeds and Ola as well for Rural Development, because their targets form part of the annual performance plan of Rural Development. What we did highlight to the department this year already was that even though it is included in the department's APP, they just need to ensure that it is specifically identifiable within the APP. I think for Deeds it was fine. It was already specifically identifiable, but for Ola, those targets just need to also be specifically identifiable. But when it comes to the performance information, we didn't have any material findings on the performance information for the current year. Okay. And then we're just highlighting the department's performance in terms of the number of targets reached in the current year. And when it comes to Ingo Nyama, they also did not have material issues with the performance information. However, this was after adjustment. So the original performance information that was presented for audit, they had to go back and adjust it in order for us to say that there were no material findings with regards to the performance information. Then for Rural Development, you will recall last year we also had specific procedures or value-added procedures we performed. And then this year we also extended on those procedures. So for the current year, we looked at the recapitalization program specifically in Rural Development as a value add. And the major findings that we identified during the audit was the lack of sufficient monitoring and support on the implementation of the business plans. So basically when we went out, we looked at the business plans that was presented by the farmers in terms of which they would be getting the support. So we found that there was an insufficient monitoring and support in terms of the implementation of the business plans. Then also the spending of the grants money was not always in line with the approved business plans. So sometimes the farmers would deviate from the business plans and that would not be communicated to the departments. And then also amendments to the business plans were not always pre-approved. And the department indicated that there was now a new policy with regards to the selection of beneficiaries. This was also a finding in the previous year, so they have acted with regards to that finding, so there is now policy, but it was only approved late in the year, and we will therefore only look at that policy in the next financial year. With regards to our recommendations from this value-added review, we indicate that the department should consider to develop an average pricing list for goods and services acquired. Now, what we mean when we say an average pricing list, it's just a list to give an indication of how much does this specific goods and service, for example, if you're going to install a boorhole, what is the average price of a boorhole, so that when the farmers procure a boorhole or the department is monitoring the implementation, that they can actually see, you know, this person is paying 300,000 for a boorhole, whereas an average boorhole costs 100,000, so why are those discrepancies there? And it's not just, this is just an example, it's actually applicable to most of the services and the monitoring within the department. I think this list will help a lot with the procurement as well. Obviously, there is strict procurement regulations in government, but this sort of list will also, even if you get free quotations, this sort of list will actually help you to see, for example, if someone is quoting 600 Rand for a bottle of Handy Andy and the other one quotes 400 and the other one quotes 300, it still doesn't mean that that is close to the average price. So if you have a list like this with the average prices, it will actually assist you to know what those price should be beforehand, and so that when you get those quotations in, you can monitor it against that. Then the other recommendation we're making is that project officers should receive further training on the specification of goods and services acquired. Now, what we mean here is that, for example, if you look at the boorhole, We looked at the drought relief spending for this year, and one of the areas is that, for example, at Boerel, you would see that it just says, the invoice would say equipped and installed a Boerel. Now, when you look at a Boerel specifically, for a Boerel, you need to know how deep is that Boerel, because you're paying per meter that's being drilled. You need to know what sort of casings are being used. You need to know what sort of pump was used. So those are all the other things that those requirements that the person should have been looking at when they actually evaluated that Boerel before it was actually approved for payment. So it wasn't clear that that is taking place, and hence we're just recommending there the further training to the project officers. And then the last thing we just want to highlight again to the committee is that in the next year, the targets on recapitalization will move to DAF. And we're just highlighting this because it will be requiring close cooperation between the two departments, because the land will be housed in rural development, whereas DAF will be required to actually support the farmers. So we're just highlighting this again so that it does not impact on food security, job security of the workers, and the sustainability of the farms, that it's not negatively impacted. Then if we go to the next program, we also looked into a bit more detail. It's the strengthening of relative rights. This is a new initiative by the department that was piloted, and we've also been requested by the minister to also in the next year also have a look at this program again. So when we looked at this program specifically in our recommendations, we said that the department just needs to clearly define the objective of the program, how it aligns to the mandate of the department, and to ensure that the objectives are met. That the department should set selection criteria for the projects that will be supported, as well as selection criteria for the beneficiaries that will be supported throughout the program, and also the monitoring of the program between the, currently it's being done by an agent, as well as by the agricultural land holdings account where this project is being funded from. Then we further recommend that a review be performed on the progress or the process followed on the implementation of the program, because it's currently the pilot phase has been finalized. However, we in our discussions with the minister as well, we highlighted the fact that they need to look at the implementation, the appointment of the agent, as well as the alignment to the achievement of the SSR objectives. So this is something that we will also just be monitoring from our side in the next year with regards to the SSR program. Then on the financial health, I just want to highlight to the to the honourable members that the presentation IDB, because they were a small entity, we did not do this assessment for them. However, there's no material uncertainties that exist about the continuation of the department as well as its entities. With regards to the key concerns at the bottom of the slide, we're just highlighting there that the department has a substantial commitments balance. So the settlement of these commitments could potentially have a negative impact on the department's ability to reach targets as well as service delivery. And then the current budget allocation for the department would not be adequate to cover these commitments as well. Most of these commitments relate to restitution, but it's quite substantial amounts, and the department currently does not have adequate resources to actually meet these commitments as well as continue to deliver on its service delivery objectives. And the second matter we just want to highlight to the committee is the monitoring of the spending of grants and the collectability of lease money or lease income in the agricultural land holdings account. So basically this relates to where grants are paid to beneficiaries in terms of by ALA, and then the beneficiaries are supposed to bring the invoices back to ALA in order for them to actually expense these grants. Now, currently that is happening only to a very limited extent, which then necessitates ALA to actually raise provisions for bad debts with regards to the spending of the grants as well as the lease income, which is also not being collected adequately. So the monitoring and the spending of these grants really needs to improve, as it could affect the sustainability of the entity going forward. Then on the next slide, you will see there that we are highlighting the different areas we've looked at for the current year. We have firstly on your left-hand side, we've got the financial statements. So you will see there the blue 100%, indicating if you look at the bottom, there's a subheading or a note that indicates that the financial statements were submitted on time. So all financial statements for the entities were submitted on time. And then, but only 50% of it did not require material amendments. So ITB, as well as the department, had to go back and make amendments to their financial statements after it being submitted for audit. But ALA, as well as DEETS, did not have to make changes. Then on the performance information, I just want to highlight here also that performance information only ITB and rural development is reported on, because DEETS and ALA is included in the APP for rural development. So the 50% that we're highlighting there means that one of the two entities, which is ITB, also had to make a material amendments to their performance information after it was submitted for audit. Then with regards to compliance with laws and regulations, DEETS and ALA did not have material non-compliances, but the department as well as ITB still had material non-compliances in the audit opinions that was issued. Then with regards to fruitless and wastewater and irregular expenditure, you will see there that there was a decline in fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Obviously the target for fruitless and wasteful is zero. But there was a substantial decline, which is a move in the right direction. But on irregular expenditure, there was a substantial increase in irregular expenditure for the current year. And for irregular expenditure, the major contributors were DEETS as well as the department, DEETS for the ICADASTRA project that was deemed irregular for the current year, and therefore all expenditure incurred was classified as irregular and disclosed. With regards to fraud and consequence management, you will see there that for the past 2 years, we are highlighting that every time fruitless and wasteful as well as irregular expenditure is incurred, there is an investigation that takes place to find out what was the root causes and action is being implemented. However, those investigations do take longer than 3 months to complete. But it is a good sign that the department is investigating any fruitless and wasteful as well as irregular expenditure. And the same with supply chain management. Now this is instances that was reported in the previous year, and we are highlighting that all instances that were reported in the previous year was actually investigated by the department. In status of internal controls, you will see there that we're sort of sitting on a 50-50 between yellow and green. Obviously, the objective is to move everything to green, which would mean that adequate internal controls are in place. The detail is on the next slide, where we are looking that on internal controls, you can see there that Ingonyama is the one entity that still has some red with regards to leadership as well as financial and performance management. And in the department, which is the first column on the left, they have quite a number of items sitting in yellow, which means that obviously one wants those to move to green. Then with regards to assurance providers, you will see their senior management accounting authorities for DEETS and ALA is rated as green, and as well as the executive authority, and for ITB and rural development it's yellow. Internal audit is mostly green, as well as the audit committees, and then the portfolio committee was also assessed as green. From the portfolio committee's point of view, Our assessment was purely a compliance review that was performed, and therefore the committee is assessed as green. Root causes. Now, we're highlighting the major root cause at this stage was the same as in previous years, that there's still a slow response with regards to management implementing the or responding adequately to our messages and addressing the risk in improving the internal controls. Then this slide is also something new that is will be implemented in the next year. It's called the State of Records Review. If you've looked at some of the presentations made by the AG himself recently, you would have seen this as one of our major focuses for the next year. And basically, it's implementing a constant review that we want to go in on a quarterly basis and look at specifically identify key areas of concern and provide feedback on the assessment of key focus areas as well as the implementation of action plans. So this will be implemented as a value add in the next year. It's already been communicated to the DG and to management as well that it's something that we will be implementing for the next year. So we've already identified key areas that we want to focus on a quarterly basis. Then the second last slide is just one that we want to highlight the contributors to corruption, being whether there's a monopoly, whether there's discretion, and low levels of accountability. And accountability I've spoken about previously in the presentation. So where there is low accountability, corruption will be high, and where there is high accountability, corruption will be lower. And the more corruption there is, the lower service delivery is obviously being implemented. This being a standard slide we are presenting in all the presentations this year, but definitely something that we're also keeping an eye on. And then lastly, if you want to get in touch with the Auditor General, there's just our general information. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Chlope. I do not know if there are additions before. And this is Amanda, perhaps on the ITB part or in any other part. I'll just give chance to your good selves to so do. So long, colleagues. We have not yet confirmed the availability of Treasury as yet for the next item. So what we will do, ITB, I see the judge, is that the new hairstyle or what? Why did I not see you? The Honorable Judge and the CEO, we may, after we dispense with this, go straight to you. Perhaps it might help with your flights, or it might not help with your bookings, which have already been for, yeah. But please keep on idling so long, yeah. So shall we take additions?
Thank you, Chair, from my side. We will deal with questions if they might come on the presentation made. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good day to the members. I think on ITB, the addition that we have, I think we must highlight that in a long time, ITB and the Ingonyama Trust, which is two entities, is now showing, you know, the true reflection, which is two entities. And that took a lot of work between, you know, management and the audit team as well. And for the Ingonyama Trust Board, we must highlight that that entity on its own, it managed to get clean audits. But in terms of Ingonyama Trust, the separate and the corporate body, that is where we had a qualified opinion. And as we were consolidating for the Ingonyama Trust and the Ingonyama Trust Board, the consolidated outcome was a qualified opinion. But in terms of the two entities, that's what I just wanted to highlight, that
there was a separate clean audit for the Ingonyama Trust Board, which is the 3A entity, and then for the Ingonyama Trust, that's where the qualification is. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. You have recommendations, perhaps?
In terms of the recommendations that we have made to the accounting authority, is that they must just look at the revenue, which was what caused the revenue, and the land, which were the cause of the qualifications. It's something that will take time, and it will take cost as well, as it basically the whole province of KZN. It's not something that will happen overnight, but we have discussions on how to go forward on those issues.
Where are those contained, the recommendations or the points you're submitting? You see, I've a privilege to be ignorant because the documents, I think it's we're just getting copies now, ne? And even in black and white. Ne? Where are they? The copies of the... When were they submitted to the portfolio committee?
Chair, we already sent a presentation through last week to the secretariat.
They were distributed last week?
Yes.
The ones you're saying are in black and white?
Yes.
Okay. It's nice to sit here because I get another report here, I get another one there. I will not make you to know what each one is saying. It's fine. But I'm going back to the point, né? Because the main purpose was to find out, Sis Amanda, surname again, please.
Surname is Zuma.
Oh, yes. Mamu Mcholos. Yeah. The reason we ask for recommendations, and you added a good point. So we want to get those recommendations in order for the committee to interact with these, and also for those to find way and resonance through the committee findings and reports to the House, right? So that was the reason. That's why I was asking, where have you documented those? I think Mr. Hlope, you agree they're not here, no? The editions. We do want them. Maybe you can just follow us with a two-pager. It looks like you reported elsewhere, but you omitted to think that you will also have to report to the committee. So we need those. What's your commitment?
We will forward them in writing to the committee. Yes, we have communicated them with management. So it's a matter of just forwarding those to the committee. To management and accounting authority of ITP.
At this level now, yourselves as Chapter 9, you are sharing and comparing notes or sharing notes with the portfolio committee. So that one is inadequate. Ne? It is procedural and correct, but it constitutes maybe 60%. So the other chunk of 40% is yourself submitting. So we rest it on a note that says your additions are very much useful, and the recommendations thereof. You were saying on recommendations there are two areas. I'll allow members to then interact, but I just wanted to make sure that the playing field is first level, you know. Yeah, so you will come in, Mr. Hlope, but I just want to tie it down. By when you think we can get it from your own request?
Within a week, you should have them. We'll forward it to Mr. Krogler, then he can share it with the committee.
Yeah, maybe you wanted to come on that protocol, but Mr. Krogler?
Thank you, Chair. I'm covered.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, members, this is time for your good selves to interact with the reports. Please note, Parliament is the programming kind of... has been very much now Parliament in session, now Parliament in constituency and so forth. So please try and come back. I know this is day one for the fourth quarter, am I right, Sister? Yeah, this day one for the fourth quarter. I can't remember when the third quarter was, some month or 1.5 months ago. But please come back. Let us now deal with the issues. The office of the AG gave us this reflection. We are familiar with them doing that once in a while, often. So shall we get members to indicate their interactions? Honorable Mbabama, followed by Honorable... I will always move in the line, all right? Honorable Mbabama. And honorable members, please mind your questions if they are or they are not answered. Please help us there. Let's just be collective about that. So don't expect me to say, you have not responded to Honorable so-and-so's point. Please, when I give follow-up questions, you know exactly if your point was answered or not. Thanks, Honorable Baba.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks to the Office of the Auditor General for the report. I think it's quite comprehensive. On my part, I think I seek more points of clarity for myself than anything else. Could we start on page 16? Page 16 shows us a couple of findings, four in all, and the recommendations as well. You'll excuse me if this is a question out of turn, but I just want to find out, your findings don't, your recommendations don't seem to talk to the findings. Is that normal? And you'll excuse me, this is my first time going through this, but I just want to find out if it's normal that your recommendations do not talk to the findings, or the findings are not what is addressed in the recommendations. So that is my first question. And then going to financial health on page 18, also for my education, I would just like the Office of the Auditor General to explain to me what is meant by commitment, the commitment balance. And I understand that Mr. Hobler said most of the commitment relates to restitution, not there being enough resources to meet these commitments. So I just need an understanding, what exactly do you mean by commitment? And having that commitment, what do you mean that there are not enough resources within this financial year to handle that commitment? Because in my layman's understanding, if you forwarded the commitment, so therefore why was provision not made in this financial year to deal with those commissions, you know, to deal with that? I don't know whether it's your question or a question for the department, but for my understanding, I just need that clarity, please. Also, you spoke about monitoring of spending and spending of grants and lease income. If I'm not mistaken, that came about as a concern. And I'd just like to find out what is the process normally when you find things like this, that the monitoring is not carrying on. How do you, as the Auditor General, talk to the department about it? What do you expect of them if you find something like this? And then we go to page 20. And in page 20, you've shown us an increase in irregular expenditure, which is said to be because of the deeds. If I could just get more of an explanation around that. I understand you've given us some copious notes in terms of what irregular expenditure is, but I'd just like more clarification in terms of you saying it has to do with the deeds. I'd just like to know what exactly is the problem. Page 21. you've shown us allegations of financial and whatever fraud or misconduct, and you've shown us that it has been 100% investigated. But I'm not sure if it is your role, again, you'll bear with me, but I would just like to find out, it having been investigated, what are the results? And am I actually right in answering that question? Maybe my peers here can assist me. Am I right in answering, in asking that question of you? It has been, these allegations have been investigated, and then so what? Thereafter. What happened thereafter? Okay. Page 24. Assurance and key controls. I must say I was a bit lost. We received this, and I must say at this juncture, I just forgot to mention it when I started out with my questions. I really find it difficult for us to be able to engage ourselves properly here without us having received the reports, because I think they're supposed to be with us a couple of days before, not like last night. I received mine at 9:30 last night. So really, it's not on, because then we're not able to apply our minds properly. As the chair said, I'm not sure exactly where the blame lies, but whoever it is, they must try and improve on that, because, you know, it's difficult for us to quickly engage if we see things that we don't understand. Now, under the key controls, or the column under the key controls, you've got effective leadership, oversight responsibility, and you've got those columns going across. I'm not too sure what those columns talk to, if you get what I mean. You'll explain it when you come to it. Maybe I'll explain it further, but I just need more of an explanation around page 24. I just couldn't understand it. I understand under assurance, because you've got it all there. But the under the leadership, financial performance management, I'm not sure which entity you're talking to or what's exactly happening there. So if you could just explain that to me. And page 25, under root causes, where does accountability come into this? You have found that management does not respond within the required with the required urgency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know whether I should say what is your recommendation or what has been done by the department around this. And again, bear with me, I'm not sure that accountability comes into the report, but, you know, I'd just like to find out either from yourselves or from the department. Page 26. I like the slide a lot because it's very clear. Immediately you see it. But you said it will be implemented in next year. Did that mean the year 2017, 2018? And if so, why can it not be done this year? Slide 27. Slide 27 seems simple enough, because you're talking about an increase in corruption if there is less accountability and vice versa. But I just need to know what you mean by around monopoly and discretion in that slide. Those are the two that I don't quite understand. Thank you. I think that's all from me.
Thank you, Honorable Makasa. I'm just thinking of people called Hansard who might not be having visuals but listening to their voices, so they must know who's next. Honorable Makasa, yes?
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you to the presentation by the AG's office. The last speaker has covered my many concerns in connection with the presentation. for a special the title deeds issue. I think I'll get the response from you. I like your correlation part of your presentation between low accountability, corruption, and the impact of service delivery. That's why we are here as politicians. We are here for that. I think, Honorable Mbabama, that diagram shows us that corruption is equal to monopoly plus discretion minus accountability. Generally, in addressing risk areas, e.g. the allegations of corruption we're talking about, more especially in SOEs and other departments, why is it like that? And yet there are audits for financial controls. Do you have powers to hold the departments accountable for your findings if they don't comply with PMFMA or MFMA? My last question is, what is the audit opinion of this department? Thank you very much.
Mandela, thank you.
Thank you very much. I wish to echo Honorable Magadla's expressing appreciation to the Office of the AG for their report, their presentation, excellently done, Chief. Especially the part in which you took effort in educating us, the first part when you deal with your methodology, etc., is very, very much welcome. Chair, much of what I wanted to ask has been asked. I think there's one or two areas which I wish to highlight and ask questions around. The issue of page, I think it's slide 14. The Office of the AG indicate clearly where the weaknesses are in relation to performance. And with regard to rural development and land reform, program 5 has been identified. But they have made certain recommendations, Chair, which indeed is very much welcomed. And certainly we hope, Honorable Minister, that the department will not fight those recommendations, but rather attend to it expeditiously, Chair. There's no such recommendations in the weaknesses identified in relation to the ITB. I think that one is program 4. You know, so one wonders why is that the case, Chair, whether it's an omission or not, because we would want to in future ask the ITB, why have you not attended to the recommendations that were indeed identified by the Office of the AG. Chair, I think the other recommendation that the AG made in relation to compiling a list of prices for goods and services, you know, this is a very, very good one, so that we do not have a situation where a bottle of water like this one here, it's reflected as cost 100 rand in one year and 200 rand in another year. It's very good. But similar, alongside that, Chair, what we do not see, and which is very important, especially when we speak about employment creation, small business development, there's no indication whether there has been an assessment of the procurement processes that the ITB or the department has followed in relation to targeting small and medium enterprises, let me rather say preferential, the implementation of preferential procurement policies. Say we, there's no such indication. It will be actually be very good if one indeed are able to determine whether the department is indeed living up to that commitment of targeting small and medium enterprises, are targeting in particular our BEE enterprises. Chairperson, I think that will be a good thing for us. Chair, the fact that this presentation is not in color is somehow a challenge, I must confess, because one not really want to follow there, you want to follow here, but you get lost in the lack of color, Chair, but it's probably other, as you indicated, technical challenges with regard to that. The 20, that speaks to the issue of irregular expenditures. It's difficult just to ascribe it to one program. If we say deeds, one is not quite sure whether it's only deeds, could it be only deeds, because we talk here about a 300% increase. If you compare it, I suspect this is probably 2016-17. I'm even getting lost in terms of trying to identify which year it reflects, Chair. But the one amount is 8 million, and the other one is 25 million, Chair. I think I want to stop there, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mandela. Like Honourable Chabalang, your hand is up. Yeah, but like I've indicated, I've indicated to colleagues, please mind your questions in terms of the responses that will be fielded, so that you can make follow-ups. Honourable Chabalang.
Thank you, President. Just a comment, just repeating what other members have said. It took a very long time to compile these documents, and we're expecting us to go through them within less than 3 hours, when it took you more than a week to do this. This is really, it's unfair. And if it wasn't for this, I was going to say that we should send you back so that we can get enough time to read the documents. But it's just that, you know, we are pressurized by time. We've got to go through this process, and this thing is not only happening for the first time. We've always said and emphasized to the department that if you want our input on your documents, give us ample time to study them. And even the documents we get given are very, very low. This one of the AG, we can't follow, because colors talks better than figures, and words. And the reason why you're using colors is just to emphasize. So we're actually losing that emphasis that you are trying to give to us. So this makes it really very, very difficult. I just want to check, AG, that if you make recommendations and your recommendations are not adhered to, what else? And I'm worried. So I was reading something here on, it's not even consequence, something that the problem is with the with the department is that when you ask them questions, they take a long time to respond. That is the root cause of all this. And if we solve this one, because if it's the root cause, it means it becomes the root cause is the main cause. Yeah. And that who else must drive this? Is it the political head, or is it the director, the DG of the department, who needs to make sure that if questions are asked, they are answered on time, and that and not only answered on time, but answered correctly. Yeah, Chairperson, it's very difficult to engage. I mean, I saw these documents only this morning around past 7 when I woke up. And I can't make any meaningful inputs except just these comments. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, colleagues. I do not know. Like I said, I would have been firing in all cylinders had I been sitting there. Now I must just try a little bit to be neutral. But Mr. Chlobler, Mrs. Amanda, and the whole team of AG. Okay, the information before me is even now we do not have the committee assistant. It does look like there was some circulation, but it looks like the buck stops there. For now, let me just help the committee. The buck stops there, but I can't take it beyond because there's no committee assistant now in the meeting to really help us. It does look like from the AG, you sent the document on the 20th, that's about 2 weeks back. Yeah, and then it reached ourselves for our committee assistant to circulate oral members. And then in that 2 weeks up to today, there was no such circulation up until last night. But for the documents that I received last night, I still cannot remember if I got this one. I think it was the department's documents. But this one, I'm at risk of saying we simply do not have. And as Mamun Baba, you say you got it, you sure you meant even this one of AG, or last night. So, ordinarily, Honorable Chabeleng is right. You see, the people who must hold everyone else accountable cannot really be found so wanting. It is completely unacceptable, completely unacceptable. And I can see that the honorable members want to engage, they want to get in, but it is very, very difficult. This is really pity that on your side, Mr. Chlobler, you cannot then circulate to members. You circulate to one point, the committee secretary. And the committee secretary, according to parliamentary protocol, circulates via the committee assistant. Now, we don't have a committee assistant in attendance to then clarify. So, now it looks like we are confronting you, but who else can we confront? Because your documents didn't reach us only up until last night. That's the spirit in which I think you should receive this. And the third part is that your document is supposed, I like quoting Dadu Mwala, the retired AG for the province, you call it what? Business executive for the province of the Eastern Cape. You would go even on media and say parliamentarians aren't asking the correct questions, but you would come to workshops and say these are the issues. Now, that's the style in which we receive Chapter 9 institution reports, that they back us up, they give us information so that we become relevant, you know. I don't ask about the dam in my village when I should have asked the dam at Ngoa Ngoa, because you would have picked it up and all that. But having said that, honorable members, I'm just going to request your patience. I think that the department is hearing, putting aside the political principles, because I don't expect ministers and deputies to circulate documents. But acting DG, we will be very strict. If you were in the shoes of AG, rest assured, you'll be moving out. And unfortunately, you would not leave the political principals behind, the minister and deputy ministers. As we push you out of the door, unfortunately, the consequences would be on them. And it's a huge, huge unacceptable situation to befall. Just on a technicality, a document received last night, and people having less than 3 hours to interact with those. But having said that, we hope that you will also not be having a sense about our depth on the issues or level of engagement when, in actual fact, we've not been. But I just want to add on some few more issues for clarity. Pity that on the slide, sometimes when you were talking rural development, on the mouth you were pronouncing land reform. So there was that. I was just trying very much on a document you received now on the spot to really reconcile. But it's a slip of the tongue. I did pick up that a number of times. Let me start with the price list that you correctly suggest. It's true. This bottle of water to government, it just becomes 20 rand. And you know, no one in the street is going to buy this half a liter, quarter liter of water for 20 rand. Clearly, it's far more expensive than petrol when it's procured by the state. So your observation, I think you can go back safely with the feedback that we want to welcome that with both hands. We think that channel it, however, via Treasury. Channel it via whoever amongst your colleagues is... because if Treasury sets the norm, any department that buys this for more than 10 rand must then explain why. Because I buy this at the garage. Remember, I travel long hours. I buy this at a garage, the bigger one, at 10.92, but the bigger one. I can assure you, but once this is procured this by the state, this small one, it just keeps going unreasonably high. There's that milking of the state from that end. And it doesn't have to be monopoly. Just an ordinary person supplying the state, and a simple imaging supplier just says this is 20 rand. You know, because somewhere you talk about monopoly, and I agree with your point, but it's just that corruption is not really necessarily limited to monopoly. It takes place even between two persons. When I buy his phone for 6,000, when you know that that phone is 2,000, that's, you know, but not him. You want, he's a very good gentleman, this one. Price list, we accept the point, and we think that... please make that recommendation to Treasury. Let us standardize. Service providers out there must know that there are limits, you know. The point by Honorable Mbabama, I'll only wait for your response on findings, because there were four findings, but there are three recommendations, and she picked up a correct point that the recommendations were not talking to findings. I have made the point earlier, everyone knows I sit on management, and you did interact with management. I had made the point earlier at that interaction, 2 points that I want to make now, also for this record. The evaluation of the portfolio committee is done by the auditors who audit Parliament. And at management, I made the concern, I raised the concern with you that you might seek to do that, but those auditing Parliament from the same office of the AG might come up with very, very adverse against us. They may say we've not been attending meetings, our meetings have been few and far apart, we've not been making follow-ups, but on your one, because you evaluated the portfolio committee as well, you might be saying all is well. Yeah. Other than the difficulty that you will naturally have in saying we're not doing well, you'll definitely have a difficulty saying that, but so that aspect, it looks like to me, deal with your scope insofar as the department and the entities, and then someone auditing Parliament will then have to deal with the portfolio committees. Someone auditing political parties will deal with their attendance, even at I'm total KPMG. you see. So I had made that point. I am just repeating for the record of this bigger meeting and the public out there, the stakeholders. And I made a point to yourselves. It was very hard. I can never be able to be that hard as I was when I made the point. You talk about the RADP, the recap. And when you talk about the recap, you acknowledge a transition of the recap from the Rural Development and Land Reform Department to Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. But in the process, you are silent on the base document and resolution. And you will remember, I'm not populist, I'm not playing to any gallery, but I was very hard to yourselves to say, has there been a cabinet decision? And up to this point, so if you as auditors, the highly technical people, the specialized people, you cannot pick up that there is no such cabinet resolution with no resolution number or resolution identification, how dare do you then go on and treat the matter as such? Because when you audit somewhere in your documents, I have your other documents from management. No? I have somewhere in your documents you indicate that you look at this, you look at NDP, you look at, and then you look at the constitution, you look at the PFMA and all that. But it's a basic for PFMA that there be a cabinet resolution. And nowhere are you picking that up. I made the point to yourselves, I repeat the point. It creates the impression that the lines between yourselves as a Chapter 9 and our state departments are blurred. And it makes our work even more difficult. Because we rely on the objectivity of the Chapter 9s. Now, yourselves at Chapter 9, you cannot even bother whether there's a cabinet resolution or not on this. There are a number of other issues where you would need the cabinet resolution. The other day, we'll be talking about SPLUMA and its implementation, whether it's moving to Treasury. In public media and in social media, mainstream media, in the week since yesterday and last week, there's a talk of budgeting going to the presidency. I think you picked that up. And whether or not that is happening and in what format and so on, for what reasons, and is that correct or not. Deputy Minister Buthelezi was on TV addressing that same question. So this migration of functions has got to be mandated and resolved somewhere for audit to begin to move from that as a status quo. Now there's a lawyer here. Status quo then becomes status what? But that's a past tense, yeah. Status quo means now. Now, status then is what, there's a nice Latin term for that. So can you please deal with that? And the last aspect, had Eugene been here, perhaps there was briefing from your good selves. I will also invite the minister, the department, the ITB, to be able to also come in after the on this question. The separation of powers between the Ingonyama Trust, which is one person, and the Ingonyama Trust Board. I think at committee, Dr. Manenze, Ms. Pepete, we first heard about it from the auditors. It was Eugene. But my sense, let me just confess, we never understood whether it was right, whether it was wrong, what was the logic. Can you please dedicate 3 minutes just to answering the part about what is the Ingonyama Trust and what is the Ingonyama Trust Board on finances? How does one decide, no, let me transport the king under the Ingonyama Trust. Now let me transport the king to this function under the Ingonyama Trust Board Fund. How does this work? You are saying, for instance, and as among Sis Amanda is saying, the audit for the board is clean. Thank you, Judge. I'm so happy for you. I am really, honestly. But this one of the Ingonyama Trust is the one that compromised, in my terms, the overall consolidated. So please, can you get us as clear as possible? I know it was the first we heard from the AG recommendations of Eugene some years back when he said, these are two entities according to law, according to what? Any other legal mind is really open to please help us? I know it's between the auditing minds and the legal minds to really make this to be understandable to the ordinary person. Because for us, we will not know now. How do we, okay, it's the trust that is compromising the trust board. We want to go for the trust then. What are the findings and recommendations there? But she says it's the land. I am under, I judge. Is the land and the what? Is the land and the, there were two key issues that I think Amanda highlighted that, and revenue. Revenue is imali that comes in. Yeah, he knows what I'm saying. Thank you very much. Those are the sum totality of questions, and members would be minding where what questions are not answered and which ones are answered. Thank you.
Okay, through you, Chair. Thank you very much, members, for the questions, and I'll try to answer all of them. I think a couple of members did raise the question about accountability of the department and how can, or whether the AG has the powers to hold them accountable. As you know, there is currently a reviewing being done about the AG's powers. So currently that's not within our mandate. But the powers are being reviewed. With regards to weaknesses and the recommendations on ITB specifically, I think Amanda's already given that assurance that she will draft a document for the committee with the specific recommendations for ITB that will be distributed to the committee. And then with regards to the evaluation of the portfolio committee, we did take note of that matter that was raised, and we are taking it up with the parliamentary auditors as well, just to make sure that there's consistency in the evaluations. I'll give Amanda opportunity just now to take us through the differences between the board as well as the trust of ITB, but let me just try and answer the other questions first. Okay, with regards to the recapitalization, I think the reason you wouldn't have seen us raising too much about the recapitalization, the move on recapitalization, is because the move was not part of the review for the current year. As for the current year, the targets were still included in the APP for the department, so it was part of our review for the current year, and we will definitely look at the move when we audit the next year. We are sitting in already in October, basically, so it is quite urgent that matters need to come to a conclusion with regards to that matter. For the committee, and it's unfortunate that the chair could not join us this morning, because we did write a letter to the chair when we did the preliminary review, where we did raise the issues about the recap for the committee, just to highlight it to the committee, because it was still in progress when we did the review. Hence, it wasn't something that was finalized yet in order for us to reach a conclusion. But definitely something we are keeping an eye on. And we'll be looking at in the next year as well. With regards to the slide on internal controls, I think from an admin point of view, definitely apologies from our side as well. Between ourselves and the secretariat, we will make sure that admin issues are resolved going forward and that the necessary documents are distributed and printed on time for the committee. I just wanted to highlight for page 24, I do apologize, I see the headings of the columns on key controls between the different versions went missing. It's actually the first column on the left-hand side was for rural development, indicating that there's some green areas, but majority is yellow. And then next to it was Allah, and then Deeds, and then the far right column was for ITB. Apologies, I see the headings for those columns were deleted between the versions, so I hope that clarifies the assessment. I'll maybe start going through the questions just to address them. I think with regards to the findings and recommendations, I don't think they should be read in isolation. That when we say lack of monitoring, it is definitely something we have been discussing with the department. It's been something we've been discussing with the minister as well, in terms of how the department can actually improve on its monitoring of the spending as well as the grant money and the implementations. So I don't think the findings and recommendations should be read in isolation to each other. That was maybe not in the intention of the presentation.
Hold on, because I don't want even... you have four findings and three recommendations.
Yes.
So when you say they can't be read in isolation, I don't know.
Yes.
Or the first bullet point corresponds to the first to another recommendation. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Then there's one that doesn't have a... thank you. Let's rather get that clarified before you proceed with the...
My concern, Chair, is I understand when Mr. Krobler says we mustn't read them in isolation, but my concern is that even when you... I'm not even necessarily looking at the numbers. If you read the recommendations, they don't talk at all to the findings, and vice versa, if you get what I mean. If I could read your recommendations and somewhere in there see that the four have been addressed, or if I read the recommendations, I see, oh, he was addressing that finding or that. That doesn't correlate to me. It just seems like two different things altogether.
Okay. I think maybe just to clarify, when we say, for example, spending of grant monies was not always in line with the approved business plan, then obviously it is something that we will follow up on in next year to make sure that that is addressed. But I take the point that maybe we should have just inserted a recommendation with regards to that finding instead of just noting the finding with the assumption that it is implied that the recommendation would be then that the spending should be in terms of the business plan. I take the point by the member through you, Chair. So going forward, we will just pay specific attention to that.
And through you, Chair, sorry, just quickly. And to look at the other side of it, the department should consider to develop an average pricing list.
Yes.
But there's no finding that says there was a problem with the price. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think the point's definitely noted. We'll make sure that that's addressed going forward. Then...
I just want to dispense with findings and recommendations, and then you can... so there's not even follow-ups on it. Honourable Babama has done that. I had also strengthened her point there. But just to say that related to this is an issue, Mr. Krobler, about quality assurance. Remember, for the ordinary person in the street, the last line of defense is Parliament. It's the very last line, no other. Finish. Now, I don't know about the courts. I don't know about accessibility. Can an ordinary person, not even myself, can afford the constitutional court, by the way. So can an ordinary person afford the courts? I do not know. So the point is quality assurance, please. Go, Amanda. Quality assurance. Prepare your documents very thoroughly. You must sit there and smoke a pipe and can't wait for the day when Parliament receives your findings and your recommendations. Because whatever you discover, not for job's sake, but for your impact in society, you must just make sure that these findings, for instance, you know, And like she has so eloquently demonstrated, there can't be a recommendation coming out of nowhere. There can't be a finding without left hanging. So it's quality assurance. It talks to your integrities and to your competences now. Please. So as things stand, Honorable Babama has well conversed the point, but I'm really putting emphasis. And for everyone else in the room, when we write reports that go to Parliament, they must be so complete, so scientific, so clinical, so coherent, that there can be nothing better to the best of your ability. If I was Christian, I was then going to say, so help me God, you know. So that's the style in which we then supposed to. Now you have columns that do not have the headings, and now you are adding those headings. And suppose we had a document 3 weeks back and those headings were not there. What belongs to, is this ALA, is this rural development, is this NARISEC, is this what? We would still have not been able to interpret your document. So your influence is denied by your own self. You become your own as an institution now. You become your own worst enemy. So on finding and recommendations, but also, colleagues, findings and the recommendations are the main tool of Parliament, of any provincial legislature, municipality, whatever, that does oversight. It's really more on findings, so that if it's the judge and his body, ITB, they are able to act on the recommendations. They are given guidance, you know. So maybe let's leave it on that note. I wouldn't even like you to respond. Quality assure your documents, check them, double-check them, triple-check them, and make sure that the committee gets the best of what we can get out of you. That's all I can just say under the point that was raised. But let's hear you on the rest of other points. Thanks.
Thank you, Fruche. The commitment, just to highlight what is a commitment. A commitment is basically a future liability where the timing and the amount is currently uncertain. So as soon as the timing and the amount become certain, then it becomes an actual liability. So for the currently, it is disclosed as a commitment. Hence, it's a future liability. Whether the department had made adequate provision for that, I will leave it to the department to respond with regards to that. Let me just quickly check. Also, the question about small business development and whether the department has procured from small and medium enterprises. It's not specifically something that we've looked at. But I'm sure I can leave that to the department as well with regards to programs that they've implemented to support small and medium enterprises. With regards to the irregular expenditure, for the current year for deeds, there was a specific court ruling with regards to the ICADASTRA contract. And the impact of that court ruling was that the contract was then deemed irregular, and hence it was only disclosed in the current year as irregular expenditure. And then also for the department, there was some irregular expenditure that was incurred and also disclosed in the financial statements that impacted on that balance. I think I've covered all the questions. I'll just give Amanda an opportunity also to respond to the question about the differences between the trust and the board of Ingonyama.
Before Amanda, but it came from Mr. Eugene some years back, and he kept on insisting on this, and we don't differ with it, we just need to be educated about it, you know. That's why I was calling on your expertise and even the lawyers in the room. I know, but people are so much about scope, commission, but it's the legal question we wanted to understand better, you know. I wouldn't be sure that you want to refer it to Amanda, but you can. But I do know that when it was first raised, it was raised by Eugene, right? Your counterpart, your predecessor. But it's fine if you feel like it's work that had someone who's been specializing on it. So in other words, from your side, you don't know, also like me. Okay. No, it's fair, because I also, yeah. operationally, how do you separate the two and so forth? Msholosi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of these two entities, we have the Ingonyama Trust, the corporate body. That was established in 1994, and there was an Ingonyama Trust Act specifically establishing this body. And in that particular legislation, the sole trustee was established as the king of KwaZulu, as the sole trustee of this board. And then in 1997, there was an amendment to that particular legislation where the Ingonyama Trust Board was established to oversee the Ingonyama Trust, the corporate body. And the Ingonyama Trust Board is listed in the PFMA as a Schedule 3 entity, but this corporate board, which is Ingonyama Trust, was never listed, based on the understanding that I have, was never listed in PFMA. Based on the research that we did, yes, we had discussions with Eugene last year as well, on this Ingonyama Trust, the corporate body, and the Ingonyama Trust Board, which is the Schedule 3 entity, in terms of how it came about and exactly how it should be. In terms of the Ingonyama Trust, KwaZulu Ingonyama Trust legislation, when it established this corporate body, there were financial regulations that were governing this corporate board and not, PFMA, which is the Schedule 3 entity. And then in terms of this piece of legislation that was establishing the corporate body, it, had certain provisions in terms of what should the Ingonyama Trust look after, and in terms of how it should conduct its businesses. As an example, in terms of this legislation, it was saying that it should produce a balance sheet, an income statement, and the reports of auditors as some of the things that, they should comply with. And also things like the governing of the land. It had certain provisions in that piece of legislation that the Ingonyama Trust is the sole trustee of this this corporate body, and in terms of the land that vested with the government of KwaZulu-Natal, it should be transferred and shall be held in the trust, which is Ingonyama, as the trustee of this Ingonyama Trust. And it's for and behalf of the members of the tribes and communities and the residents. And also, as part of this act, it gave the trustee of the trust a certain rights. To deal with the land in accordance with Zulu indigenous laws and other applicable law, and to only encumber, pledge, lease, alienate, or dispose the land with prior written consent of the traditional authority or the community of the authority concerned. So those are some of the things that were in this Ingonyama Trust, KwaZulu Ingonyama Trust Act, which was governing this corporate body that was...
It is this. NAI budget, whether it's 33 million all combined, how does it work on separation? And I'm not presenting a case for not separation, but I'm asking for clarity so that we do our work better, understanding. Here is budget. How does it work in terms of, having drawn all that background, how does it work in terms of,
In terms of the budget that is given for the Ingonyama Trust Board, there is budget that's given for the Ingonyama Trust Board, and that is the budget, that helps with the operation of the board, to oversee and provide, oversight process over this Ingonyama Trust. In terms of the expenditure to the trust itself, and not the board, I don't think there is anything that comes from the, you know, the appropriation that is utilized by the Ingonyama Trust from what we've audited and the financials that we had. And also in terms of the revenue that's collected, besides, you know, the appropriation, there is revenue that is collected by the trust and that is not part of the board. Things like your royalties, those are the revenue that goes to the trust and not the board. In terms of the control and the oversight, of course the administration part of it is provided by the board, since in the trust we only have, you know, the sole trustee being the king and not, you know, your communities being involved in the administration of the board. So yes, in terms of the control and the oversight of the expenses and the budget, it is administered by the board. Since in the trust we have no one basically to run the administration, and the board that was established is the Ingonyama Trust Board.
I want to step aside. I really want to step aside. I can see, but what is it that you audited that you found to be having qualifications, if you like, for instance, the clean board, when you combine, then had to be compromised in average and aggregated to be found. What is it that you audited? On what basis does it operate? In financial terms, I know, but in financial terms, what is it? Where are the books and all that?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of what we audited and led to the qualification in the trust, it is the land which falls in the trust in terms of this legislation, and also the royalty revenue that was recorded in the trust. But when you look at the legislation, it says those royalties should be paid to the revenue fund, and the
which revenue fund? I'm very curious. I'm aware about the revenue fund. Please don't be vague. Be an official here, even if you have other capacities. Please be an official here and speak. Otherwise, we'll put you under oath and we'll call a separate day, and it will be very tough.
Treasury. National Revenue Fund. Yeah. And also, it's the royalties in terms of the Minerals and Petroleum Resources Royalty Act. Those, in terms of that legislation, the Ingonyama Trust is meant to transfer those royalties to the National Revenue Fund. And when that legislation came into effect, there was a period of 5 years where the entity could request, you know, for it to withhold the royalties or an extension, and that did not happen. That is why we have this issue as a qualifying item.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I know you're very passionate about the subject. You still wanted to clarify more. Honorable members, from your questions, we've run about 8 minutes into the red in terms of my time budget, but I think let's just wrap up the AG. Clearly, Ms. Buthelezi, the issue remains very vague, so that you don't get an impression that we were satisfied. It remains very vague, but I just am of the opinion that it won't help teasing it further. It remains very, very vague, very vague. For instance, you talk the ITB overseeing or conducting oversight over the trust, but I'm sure if I can ask them, what oversight did you do? As an oversight body, what controls did you put in place and all that? As an oversight body, that which should have proceeded to the National Revenue Fund, did it happen and all that? I don't know what they will respond, and I don't want to put them in that question, but probably they will have to go to that. I will ask the honorable members just if there's any wrap-up thing you want to raise, but while you're thinking there, Mr. Chlobler?
Chair, I think as part of that recommendations document, we can maybe just try and insert a reference in there as well with regard to the split between the two, which might assist the members to provide further clarity. Since we will be doing that other recommendations document on ITB, in any case, we will just try and cover this as well.
Okay, thank you. Put in short, I know you still come, board chair. May I invite you? Are you conducting oversight over the trust? Even your CEO or anyone?
Thank you, Chair, honorable members, Minister and Deputy Minister. I understand the role of the Board of Ingonyama Trust is to provide the administration to the trust. That's what the Act reads. The Board shall administer the affairs of the trust and trust land. That's how it reads, and that's what we do.
Not over.
No, certainly not.
I saw you confirm. Thanks, Judge. I would like to yeah. And I'm not just picking and choosing. I know you're going to draw in a context, but it's fine. You're sitting next to each other. I don't know, maybe on the plane they put you in different seats because you needed to... check notes, because there's oversight stemming from the chapter 9. There's oversight, you have oversight over there. Or would you like to withdraw the oversight part? No, you stick to your guns. Thank you. No, let's leave it like that. Thank you. The other members, we will have in the next 7 minutes, 8, 9, 10 minutes, we'll have a tea break and we'll wrap up. So I'm just taking the liberty to wrap up this session. While I don't see a honorable Mbabam, yes, this one. In our cultural terms, losses was out.
Yes, thank you very much. I don't know, Chair, whether you want, because this question is really for the department in terms of the commitments and did they prepare for the commitments going into the following year, or what is the procedure, basically? Thank you.
Yeah. Shall I request?
Sorry, Chair, because there was a... somebody said, I think it was Mr. Probler, there weren't enough resources to meet the commitments. So I just need clarification from the department in terms of that.
I will request that, Honourable Member, what we do, you note those two related follow-up questions. But then we use the, I call it ammunition softly, ne? So people mustn't look at my outlook and think now I'm thinking the military style. But I call it, we use the ammunition to then interact with the department and the trust board. And their slots are coming between this after tea and after lunch and tomorrow. But they would know where we get that authority from, right? So we are being armed by the AG in terms of the responsibilities of Chapter 9 institution. So we will make those points, and I will really strongly... invite you to please have them ready when you take up questions with them, because then from AG maybe you are not able to respond to the commitments because it's somebody else's in terms of separation of powers, right? Okay. Thank you. There was an aspect you talked about, Mr. Chlobler, and that talks to training these officials on the quantities. Ne? In my lousy book, the people who are trained on quantities are called quantity surveyors. I'm privileged. One young brother of mine, the youngest, who was even educated by myself, is now on the National Board of the Quality Surveyors and Property Developers. You'll see Andile Mgunete. So they are the people who then deal with quantities. And taking an ordinary program manager, and because in one area you might do the bridge in rural development, in the other, like you were saying, you might drill you might drill a borehole. In the other, you might do a dipping tank. So you'll end up training them in the, you know. But in terms of built environment, the relevant specialists there are the quantity surveyors. And, well, this department in its nature dealing with land and so forth, and also the geomatic services, could probably have both land surveyors and quantity surveyors, or source that expertise via consultancy work, if you like. I agree with government policy to phase out consultancy, but I can imagine once you start training these people on the dipping tanks, on boreholes, on bridges, on, they will end up being everywhere, and they will grapple a lot. We'll need a little bit of mathematics, and very few of them, they will say then it's an indictment. But I'm just dramatizing. Very few of them will have that mathematics required to calculate the borehole, the densities, and all those aspects, ne? The geotechs and all. So maybe a very good official at Rural Development and Land Reform managing this program might be required to go through that, and it would be a program in hell. So I'm just saying perhaps also go back to think about it. We have received your recommendations, but we think that to really make these people specialists might be a little bit of an administrative hurdle, in that specialists do specialize. You'd really have to start some of them at mathematics standard 8, grade 10, and go all the way up, and then upgrade matrix certificates, and then take them through quantity surveyors thing. And so maybe there must be a way of sourcing that skill. A project manager is a general, is just universal. So, but under him or her, there are then these people specializing in this. And perhaps from audit point of view, you are worried about that budget. As to, if there's just 10 million for the dipping tank here, 10 million for the dipping tank there, but the circumstances aren't the same. The geotechnical circumstances are not the same. The other one, the borehole is 5 meters. The other borehole is 50 meters. I think that was your objective, and we agree with that. The objective is there can't be one cap fits all. So there has got to be relative to the circumstances, right? Yeah. I'm not talking for long. I am mindful that we'll be breaking for tea, and when tea is around. But you may just wish to interact with that aspect, because it's your recommendation. I'm just saying we can't make them scientists, natural scientists overnight. Thank you.
Chair, I think you're raising a valid point, because our recommendation was specifically looking at the recapitalization program, where these project officers are actually monitoring the implementation of the business plans within the specific regions. So I think you're raising a valid point whether the model that's currently being implemented, to have one project officer monitoring the implementation of such a wide range of different projects, that that's maybe something the department needs to look at going forward. But our recommendation specifically was just now looking at the recap, and hence the example of the Boer roles. But I think what you're raising is actually much wider than that, in terms of how does the department monitor their projects, and do they have the necessary resources to actually do that? Thank you.
Ms. Ashari, I will sponsor a bazaar for you to do mathematics grade 12, and they will take you through the QS. No, that's on a light note. I know officials can be very sensitive. That's on a light note. Thank you. The Office of the AG, Thank you very much, gentlemen and lady. Mshalo siyabonga sis for interacting with us. Clearly there's been a transition, but with us also there'll be transition after next year. So let's just try to support each other's transitions. Ne? Honorable Mbabama might be sitting here after next year. But thank you very much. You have not done badly. There was a technicality. I think it's not so much your fault. You sent documents on the 20th. They reached the committee only last night. And sorry, so we appeared very clumsy interacting with your presentation insofar as that aspect. But insofar as the rest, thank you very much. There are two grey areas. The one grey area is this thing about the board and the trust. Probably it also needs legal minds or the committee and its wisdom to really get a parliamentary legal services to really apply mine, put every statute here about the trust and the board, and see how to make it workable. Because in rent and sense, what should be proceeding and accruing to the National Revenue Fund is not, and it has compromised the report now of the board, is not, and the board thinks it backs up administration, but your office thinks it conducts oversight. So clearly there are grey areas. Now I'm thinking of this oversight over the trust now, how they started, how, you know. So difficult questions arise there. It's the 1994 situation. Judge also once briefed us along the same lines. But thank you very much for your invaluable input. We can only wish you all the best. Please cross-pollinate with committee support, because they interact with these issues and they ensure transitions from one political term of office to the other. So please keep cross-pollinating. I'm saying this because I know 2018 is going to be a very quick year with lots of gaps in terms of sittings, and 2019 and then thereafter new faces. Thank you for your efforts. Mhlekas, ngo siyabonga nkosiyami. Mshalos, siyabonga. No, keep to your guns and up until we get the issue, we'll find a solution. It means there's a grey area, I think. And thank you very much. There will now be a short tea break, 10 minutes tea break. I'm told tea is served outside, and then we'll resume. National Treasury, you're not here, eh? Head up, National Treasury. National Treasury is not here. So what it means that after break, we will then proceed with the ITB. Deputy Chair, you there? Oh, yes, the ITB. CEO, you there? We're proceeding with yourselves immediately after the break. Can we please help ourselves? I'm told the Parliament belt tightening, there are usually 10 cups and 10 whatnot. So it's the first come, first serve. You know I'm communist, I'll never wish for that, but my money.